Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Let's go back to Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice, verse 3, from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. In Zechariah 14, 16 to the end, it describes what it's going to be like after Messiah's return for the millennial kingdom. And Isaiah 9 tells us his kingdom will never end. So this is going to describe into eternity future, just like Isaiah 66 did. And it shall come to pass that everyone who's left of all the nations, nations being the Gentiles, which came against Jerusalem, that was for the Battle of Armageddon, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. How long will that go on? From year to year, forever. And it shall be that whichever the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If there's no rain, there's no food. So they're coming. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in. Doesn't say they won't, it says if. We know from the book of Isaiah that Egypt is going to worship the Lord just like Israel. It says they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's no rain. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. What's that mean? Everywhere you go, everywhere you see, there's going to be reminders to be holy to the Lord. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar, meaning all clean. No more uncleanliness, no more piggies being eaten, etc. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. It shouldn't have been translated Canaanite. It is the same word, though. It's merchant. No merchants in the house of the Lord of hosts. Remember Messiah driving out the merchants? Yes, ma'am.
So if it says it's engraved on bells of horses.
Yes, it says engraved on bells of horses.
On the side of your car. Right? So it must be.
The question is, will there be cars in the new city or will we ride horses once more? I don't know. When we return in Revelation 19:11, we return on a white. Right, not a Chevrolet, not a Ford, but on a white horse. So the world is going to go back to like it was in the Garden of Eden. I don't know if they're going to be cars or not. There's one way I know to find out. Let's go there and we'll look. Go ahead.
Those people that don't or choose not to come up for the feast, they're going to get rain, no food. They're going to die.
Either that or they're going to decide they were wrong and they're going to come.
So on one hand they die, maybe the other one they're going to come.
Yeah. I don't know that anyone in the kingdom is going to be so hard-headed that they would rather die than come to worship the Lord. But we'll see.
You still have free will, right?
You still have free will, even in the kingdom.
But, yeah. You know, that kind of rebellion shows you that it's not hard for Satan to raise up an army as numerous as the sea.
That's true.
There are still people that are saying, I'm not going.
Yeah. Back to Isaiah chapter 4, when it says the dwelling is with men, that means literally the dwelling is with men. Isaiah chapter 4 describes it in great detail. Verses 3 to 6. Verses 3 to 6. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, or Zion, prophetic Jerusalem, and remains in Jerusalem, see, I wasn't making it up, will be called holy. Everyone will be called holy. Why? Because they're saved, set apart, sanctified. Everyone who's recorded among the living in Jerusalem, those who go into the Messianic kingdom alive, are saved. They're holy. Verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and purge the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. That's the judgments that take place in the tribulation period. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Every dwelling place. How many is that? All of them. And above her assemblies, those are the synagogues, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory, there will be a covering. What is that word? It's not covering. It's chuppah, C-H-U-P-P-A-H. It's the wedding canopy. Why is there a chuppah over everyone? Because they are all the bride. Mm-hmm. And there will be a tabernacle. Tabernacle is a dwelling place. For shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain.
So we still have storms and rain?
Yes, there still will be storms and rains. Unless you refuse to come up to Jerusalem, then it will rain on everybody but you. Which sounds a lot more like a Peanuts cartoon than I want to think about, but however. Isaiah chapter 7, since we're in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The prophet told the king, ask for a sign. The king said, I will not, you can't make me. So the prophet says, okay, the Lord's going to give you a sign anyway. Behold, the virgin, actually the word in Hebrew is Alma. It means the virtuous young woman, which if she's not married is a virgin, shall conceive and bear a son. That son will be Messiah. And shall call his name Emmanuel. That's why we came to this verse. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God who is with us. So Messiah, Yeshua, a term for him is Emmanuel, God who is with us, God who is physically dwelling with us, as he will do throughout all of the kingdom. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, they refer back to the ancient prophecies. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Quotes from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. And that word means only virgin. So that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. And bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It's actually God who is with us, but it means the same thing. So Messiah was always intended to dwell amongst mankind for all eternity, and so he will. Back to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Notice the time period. This is after the end of the millennial kingdom, when we come to the new heavens and the new earth. The great white throne judgment has been completed. all those whose names are not written are cast into the lake of fire, and there is no more sin. In verse 4 it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, never ever more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Too many people think, well, this is during the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign on earth. No, it's after that 1,000 years. Once sin has been done away with and there's no more sin, then there's no more death. Because what caused death? Sin.
So the people who are believers who go into the millennial kingdom.
The people who are believers go into the millennial kingdom alive in their human physical bodies? They presumably can change their mind and turn away from salvation. I don't think that's going to happen, but they have children. And many of the children will not follow what their parents believe and teach and will reject Messiah even though he's sitting on the throne.
Okay, so if you have a child who does that, you're going to still have pain and sorrow in your millennial kingdom because your
Correct.
Children have turned away.
Right, and many of those who turn away will die, it tells us in Isaiah. And I tell you, the death of a child is a horrible thing. But come the new heavens and the new earth, there is no more sin. There is no more death. There's no more losing our children.
When it says we're raised in our glorified bodies, does that mean that we don't have a sin nature?
Yes, when we are resurrected in our glorified body, we don't have a sin nature anymore. But we're not in our human physical bodies anymore. We're not having children. It's those that survive the tribulation period and go alive into the kingdom. Praise the Lord, once we get raised, no more children. There are people out there going, I wonder what he means. But never mind. Go back to Isaiah chapter 25. Nobody can hurt you like your children. Isaiah 25, verse 8, is about the new heavens and the new earth. It's not about the age we live in now. Isaiah 25, 8 says, he will swallow up death forever. That's after the great white throne judgment. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That's no more crying like we were just reading about. The rebuke of his people he shall take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Let's look also at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, but that's about the 144,000. Back to Isaiah 25, verse 8. That's after the great white throne judgment, the millennial kingdom's over, sin's been done away with. It's what we're reading about in Revelation 21, verse 4. Yeah, after the 1,000 years. Yep, Revelation 7:17. We should start in verse 16. They shall neither hunger nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. Those living fountains of waters are in the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation chapter 22. We just haven't gotten there yet. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So it's talking about those who got saved during the tribulation period. Are they saved like you and I are saved? Yes. Do they have the same eternity future to look forward to that you and I have? Yes. So there will come a day in the new heavens and new earth when God will wipe away all the tears. There are people who say those who get saved in the tribulation period are a different class. They're like believer class two. But it's not true. God doesn't change. And Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, as you know, gives us the terms of the new covenant, but that's not the portion we're going to look at. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verses 10 to 14. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. O nations. Who's this addressed to? The Gentiles. And declare it in the isles afar off. Again, the Gentile nations. And say, he who scattered Israel will regather him. When's the regathering? That's in the millennial kingdom. And keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. That is to be fulfilled in the future. So why does it look like it's written in past tense? Because the prophetic perfect, when something is so absolutely sure and written in stone, God will describe it in past tense terms, even though it's yet to come. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, or Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. So this takes them through the thousand-year kingdom to the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Go ahead. What's your question?
Revelation 21, verse 1.
And there will be no more sea. The sea is a term for Gentile, which means pagan. If there's no more sin, there's no more paganism. There's no more idolatry. Okay. It doesn't mean no more water. It uses the term to say everyone believes in the Lord. Good question, though. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne, who sits on the throne? Who judges all people? Messiah does. Said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There are times in Revelation where the Lord said, don't write that. But here he says, make sure you write this. I'll make all things new. So does that mean we're all put into a garbage disposal and God starts over? No. It means we've all been made anew. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What's that in Hebrew? I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. Who says those words in Revelation 22 in verse 13? Messiah does, Yeshua does. He says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Let's go back to Revelation 1:8. I want that water of life. How about you? Revelation 1:8. Messiah says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, that is the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. These are Messiah's words. And he uses terms that we associate with God in the Old Testament, because he is the Lord that we read about through the Old Testament. Let's keep a finger here and turn back to Isaiah. chapter 45. Verses 5 and 6 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, meaning all around the world, Jew and Gentile alike, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 18 of Isaiah 45, the same chapter, verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it. Where do we learn that Yeshua formed the earth and made it? John 1, Colossians 1. Who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. Look at verse 21 of the same chapter, Isaiah 45. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. So if the Lord here is not our Messiah Yeshua, and the scripture says there is no other Savior, then we would just get all confused, wouldn't we? Okay, on to Revelation 22:13. Revelation 22:13, we mentioned a minute ago, also tells us that Messiah is the Alpha and the Omega, or in Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav, where he says, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then let's turn to the book of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. By the time John wrote, the believers were already getting off the track. And John writes what he writes to try and get us back on the right path. John, chapter 7. Talks about that living water. Verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast there is the Feast of Tabernacles. The last day is called Hoshana Rabbah, the great salvation. Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. So look also at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 13 and following. Messiah has come to a woman at the well. And she wants to know, you don't have a bucket. How are you going to draw water? In verse 13, Yeshua answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, what is that water we know from John 7? The Holy Spirit, will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Yeshua said to her, go call your husband and come here. Yeah. And she goes, which of the eight do you think I ought to bring? And that's where he says, let me tell you about your sin. And she repents. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 21 to verse 7. Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The overcomers. At this point, let's actually turn back to 1 John chapter 5 and read it. Same author, uses the same words the same way. That's why he doesn't redefine in Revelation what he means by an overcomer. He's already written it. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. How many times in Revelation does it use the word overcomes or overcomer? I count 7 times. What's 7 the number of? Completion or perfection. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whoever, I love that word, whoever believes the Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. And whoever loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For, meaning because, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes Yeshua is the Son of God? Why do we start in 5 verses with faith, then talk about keeping commandments, then talk about faith? Because faith comes first. Faith and love must come first. Then they naturally produce obedience. And what John's trying to tell us is, and if it doesn't produce obedience in you, go back to step 1 and examine your heart again. So that's what an overcomer is. Now let's look and see where it's used just in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 2. God made a group of promises to the overcomers. I want you to see what they all are. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear. How many people have ears? We all do. What the Spirit says to the churches, meaning these letters were to all of us, not just these 7 churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What's another term for the paradise of God? It's the New Jerusalem. So verse 7 says the overcomers will go into the New Jerusalem and eat from the tree of life. So it's a promise of eternal life. Who's the promise of eternal life given to? The overcomers. So that's the first thing, eternal life. As if that wasn't enough, go to chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.